Welcome, everybody, to the R&R CatCast, a fan-based podcast focusing on Montana State athletics. We're two dudes named Ryan from the state of Washington talking about our dear Montana State. We hope you enjoy.
All right, welcome back, Bobcat fans. Thanks for joining us on another episode of the R&R CatCast. This is our instant reaction show, the R&R After Dark, as we call it. And we are joined again by Zach Levere, guest podcaster, until Thornton comes back sometime this week. I'm not sure when he gets back, but whatever. We're having fun without him. Zach, thanks for joining us.
Right in the ship. One more week. Here we go.
Nice, man. Right on. Well, this is on the heels of the huge South Dakota State game. The feels are everywhere. I've been up, yes, I've been down. Are. I've watched it multiple times because I didn't get to watch it live. I didn't get to watch the second half live. I was at a party with my wife that I could not get out of. And then when I was at the party, I was basically useless, Zach. I would just sat in the corner and looked at my phone. I felt like the biggest loser, but I was glued to the screen. I got to see most of the fourth quarter. I got to see the touchdown that wasn't, both of the touchdowns that weren't, right? And then, you know, came back today and then recapped the whole thing, had all the feels. I've been going through the several stages of depression and acceptance. I feel like I'm at acceptance right now, but I'm sure as we begin talking about it, I will get sad once again.
Yeah, boy, that touchdown at the end, that was a no touchdown. I think I ran through the house, scared the dog, and then I proceeded to take a 30-minute walk with the dog after the game to calm down and get through it. But I think that was Bobcat Nation as a whole yesterday, because, boy, that was a close one against the number one team in the nation.
It was. It was really close. And, I mean, that's, we'll get into it. We'll get into the positives. We'll get into the good, the okay, and the bad. There's certainly some to be had in every category, and that's pretty good. We'll talk about that. But we're also going to talk about the Big Sky Conference, what happened on Saturday.
Yep, let's dive into it. Do you want me to start?
Yeah, go for it, buddy.
I'll pull up the page. All right, I'll start at the top of the ESPN page. I got it here on my phone. Oregon State crushes UC Davis, opens their new stadium down there. Reeser looks beautiful. They beat them 55-7. Wasn't even a game. I think it was 35-0 at the half. That line was only 24.5 points. I thought that was a little weird because the Beavs are good. Jonathan Smith's got things rolling down there, and UC Davis is a good team, but they were no match for the Beavs in that.
Yeah, I didn't realize that they had the new stadium open, so it looked pretty good.
Yeah, so it was their opening game in the new stadium, so packed house, and Beaver Nation trying to show up with all the realignment stuff. You feel for that fan base, but they're showing out, and their team is going to be darn good this year in the Pac-12.
You know, not in the Big Sky, but kind of similar with Washington State. My wife went to Washington State, so tangentially, I'm kind of a Coug fan. They had a good win over Wisconsin, right? And just the emotion that was in Martin Stadium down there was pretty high. So kind of similar paths for both Oregon State and Washington State. We'll see what happens with those guys. But we've heard some talks about them maybe joining the Mountain West. There was like an invite to them. I could see some regional stuff going on. You know, Zach, real quick before we get into it, what's your thoughts, man? What would you like Montana State to end up doing in the next 5 years?
So I have a couple things. You know, I go back and forth on it a little bit. I think I'm a little more in the Big Sky camp of remaining. You know, there's some teams. I think we saw it with Idaho crushing Nevada this weekend. We could compete against some teams in the Mountain West. We could definitely hold our own in, you know, I think some of our bigger sports. I worry about some of our smaller sports. I worry about some of those things. We would have to add several more sports and get a much bigger budget. So there'd have to be a lot of buy-in, because I think the Mountain West has minimums on that. The other thing, though, is I just firmly believe some of the bottomer teams in the Big Sky just need to up their game or get out. I kind of like, you know, almost an SEC style thing of FCS with the Dakota schools and stuff. But man, I think we're in a good spot for the moment. This winning thing is kind of newer to basketball. I mean, the last couple of years have been fantastic under Danny Sprinkle and stuff, but we didn't have a lot of success before that in basketball. And we, you know, football had its runs, but we're just now getting into playoff runs. We're just now getting into stuff. So I definitely want to wait a couple of years before talking realignment for us personally, because I like Frisco. I like enjoying it. And I'm like, let's enjoy the moment here before we think about, you know, maybe greener pastures in the future. That's kind of my personal take. I know you guys are on the move up train and the bowl game stuff, but I'm a little more hesitant on leaving for bigger stuff. I mean, Idaho went through that, and you can take that either way with Idaho stuff and then Boise State, but that's my personal take on it.
You just have to be ready when it's presented to you. Like, yep, you say, you absolutely can pump the brakes right now. We could wait a couple of years, but if it comes in 3 years and they say, here's the opportunity, Montana State needs to position themselves for the future, they just need to be ready for that opportunity. So I'm for it. I like Frisco too, but I think when it comes down to it, I want to play the Wyomings of the world. I want to play Nevada. I want to play the Dakota schools. I want a different conference because I just want better competition. And I also want a better basketball conference as well, where it's not just a one bid league to the NCAA tournament. I think, you know, that would be afforded if we could go to the Mountain West or something like that. Anyways.
So, yeah. So I grew up, real quick, I grew up 5 minutes from where Portland State plays their football games at Hillsborough Stadium. And it's just a community stadium where high schools play. And it's tiny. Their fans don't care. It's just one of those things where it's like, man, we have some great fan bases in the Big Sky who do show up and do a lot of stuff. And then you go to some other games or you see them on TV and there's just nobody there, or there's more Cat fans there. And that's just, you know, it's upsetting a little bit because we care so much about our schools. Yeah. And I just wish some of the other fan bases sometimes in the league showed that same amount of care and passion that we have for the Bobcats and Grizzly fans have for the Grizz.
Yeah, you're not alone. Well said. All right, let's keep this thing going. I'll go to the next one. Cal Poly lost against San Jose State Spartans 59-3. So after going 1-0 the first week, Cal Poly got their bell rung against San Jose State. All right, I'll take the next one. Wyoming beat Portland State over there in Laramie, 31-17. So at least Portland State had a better showing after getting waxed by Oregon last week. I didn't see any of this game, but Wyoming's now 2-0, and Portland State's 0-2.
Yeah, college football is weird. They get waxed by, you know, Oregon. And then the two teams so Portland State played Oregon, Wyoming played Texas Tech. And then Texas Tech goes on to nearly beat Oregon, and Wyoming and Portland State have a decent game. It's just college football's weird in that way sometimes when you just have these crazy coincidences of teams you play.
Right on. Okay, let's see. Northern Arizona. I did lose to North Dakota. Let's see, the score was 37-22. That was in the Lara Center in Grand Forks, North Dakota. I did watch a little bit of that game. I never liked the Alera Center. It just has that hockey stadium feel to it, and it's just kind of dark and not inviting, but I just wanted to see what Northern Arizona looked like. I didn't gather much from them. They just looked to be kind of what I thought they would be, like mid-tier Big Sky team. I don't know. To be determined on Northern Arizona. I'm glad we don't play North Dakota anymore. They just seem like a pesky team that I would not want to see on the roster, or excuse me, on the schedule. So there it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Their run in the Big Sky was definitely interesting, to say the least, when they were in conference for about 10 years. They were feisty every once in a while, and it was like, mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Exactly. All right, take the next one.
All right, Incarnate Word waxed Northern Colorado. They continue their train of losing and losing badly. It's, again, going to be a rough year, nothing much there. I didn't watch that game at all.
I watched probably 5 minutes of it, and Northern Colorado looked horrendous. I was like just so surprised, and their announcers were just dogging on him. It's the same guy that was our basketball announcer for a while.
Okay.
And he called some of the football games too.
Boy, that's got to be a tough job following them all year. That's going to be a rough one.
Do you know who I'm talking about though? I can't remember his name.
Yeah. He's with Zach Mackey.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. What year was that?
Yeah. Anyway.
It was a couple years ago. Anyway.
His color commentator was like, man, we are so bad. Or he wasn't exactly saying that out loud, but he was saying pretty much every play, this is what
we should be doing here, and this is why we're not winning. So, yes, I don't know. You know, Northern Colorado just clearly does not belong in the Big Sky anymore in football. They should be playing like Division II football. Central Washington.
They might lose to Colorado School of Mines, which I think is a pretty darn good D2 program. But
yeah, that's where they belong.
Yeah. All right, that's enough time on them. We don't need to think about what's going to go on there for much longer. I got Weber State. Weber State played a good game against Northern Iowa. I actually watched a fair amount of this. I think it was 17-14 at the half, kind of a feisty little game, and they pulled away in the second half. Oh man, they played a good game against Northern Iowa. I was pretty impressed with how they played.
Yeah, they're coming up soon. A lot of Cat fans are a little bit nervous about Weber State. I feel exactly the same way I felt about Weber State last year. Although Mickey Mental, you know, he proved to have his boys going. They're 2-0, right? So
yep,
the Wildcats could be a disruptor in the Big Sky this year. I'll just put it that way.
Yep, a lot of credit for that win going on the road again and making a good early season win, especially against Missouri Valley team.
Right on. One, I'm going to toot my own horn on because I called this early season. Idaho beat Nevada. They not only beat them, they took them out to the woodshed 33-6. Giovanni McCoy had 313 yards, 2 touchdowns. And the hype train for the Vandals is in full swing. I teach with a guy. His son plays D-line for the Vandals, and he's in love with Coach Eck and everything Vandal football. Him, I just get to chat a little bit, but man, they're looking good early season. I wonder if they're going to be like the Grizzlies of last year, though. I wonder in my mind if they are peaking early, and then, you know, we'll see. We'll see. They don't have a long history of doing well when things are going good. So
no, they don't. Things normally come up and bite them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, they... So I kind of equated this. Didn't Sac State crush Colorado State last year?
That could be true. Yeah.
I think something like that happened and we were all like, whoa, look out, you know, Sac State. And they were good. They were a darn good team last year. But some of these Mountain West schools are just at the bottom are just terrible. And it's just bad if you watch some of those games or something or, you know, catch them and they're not good. So all credit to Idaho. I think they played a heck of a game and they moved the ball at will, but Nevada's going to be bad. I wonder if they win a game this year. Yeah. Honestly, I do. I wonder if they win a game this year.
Yeah, exactly. Nevada would be a good team to be in our conference though. So that would be that realignment. Yes.
Yep.
I'm thinking these regional mountain schools. Oh my gosh. Next game. I don't know if this is true. This is Idaho State, Utah State. Utah State beat Idaho State 78-28. The last time I looked at that score, it was like really close. And I was like, oh, Idaho State's holding again because they had a pretty decent loss last week. Look at the second quarter there, Zach. Do you see what I'm seeing? Utah State put up 44 points in the second quarter. Is that even possible?
Whoa, they did. Yep. Holy cow. Yeah, they did.
I don't think I've ever seen that. I don't think I've ever seen that. 44 points in one quarter.
Scored at the right as the quarter started, the 12th minute, 6:30, 5:44, 5. Wow. All right, I might have to rewatch that quarter. I didn't watch a lick of that game, but wow, that's...
it doesn't feel possible. Like with the running clock anymore, it doesn't feel possible. Like how's that? 44 points in one quarter. That's crazy, man.
Boy, this got out of hand quickly. That escalated quickly. All right. Moving on. Eastern. Wow. They come in and nearly beat a Fresno State team that beat a Big Ten team last week. I mean, and had it close. And, you know, it wasn't just like they got a lead or something. They played back and forth ball for most of that game and ended up coming up short. But, wow, good on Eastern.
Yeah, went into two overtimes. That is pretty good. Oh, man, I'm not ready for Eastern to be good again. So, we'll see. I don't want to go down that train right now. I'll go down the Montana train, though. So, Montana beat Utah Tech 43-14. That's about what I was thinking was going to happen in that game. The quarterbacks, Vidlak and Clifton McDowell, they didn't have like an amazing stat, but they put up about 200 some yards in rushing against Utah Tech. Yeah, the same Utah Tech that we put up 400 yards of rushing against. So Montana took care of business down in Utah. No big surprise there.
No big surprise. Montana's defense actually looked pretty stout. I was really impressed with their secondary, especially with their what did they call their offense again? The whatever their pass spray and something.
Spread and shred.
Spread and shred. That's what it was. Well, they got shredded. Yeah, Montana looked pretty darn good. I was really impressed, especially a bounce back from kind of what would be a disappointing win that they had in the first week.
I thought this matchup would favor the Grizzlies mainly because the defense against the spread and shred just feels like that's a good matchup for the Grizzlies, how they like to pin their ears back and get after the quarterback. I didn't watch a dime of this game. So you said you saw a little bit of it and Montana looked pretty good.
Yeah, I was kind of watching the first half. And then once they had it under control, about 36-0, there was other things to watch. But I was just curious how they would match up against Utah Tech, being a similar opponent that we played in week one. I was just kind of wondering how their style of, especially their defense, would handle that passing attack, and they handled it with flying colors. They were all over it.
Well, it did look like Kobe Tracy did have 209 yards, 2 touchdowns, but he also had 2 interceptions as well. But they passed the ball like crazy amounts, so we'll see.
Yeah, they didn't score till late in that game, so.
Good point. Yeah, I see that.
It was a fourth quarter garbage time, kind of. It was 36-0 going into the fourth. It was kind of the dogs were off.
Yeah. All right.
All right, let's push through. Sacramento State beats Texas A&M Commerce 34-6. I didn't see much of this game either. I mean, we were all worried about one game this weekend. So, but Sac State gets another win, going to 2-0 in conference. I don't know do they have a big game? Normally, they have a money game every year. So. Yeah, they play Stanford next week. Okay, that's why. I was wondering. I was like, do they have somebody coming up? Because normally Sac State plays a money game every year. But so they got Stanford coming up, and Stanford got shellacked. So good luck to them and Troy Taylor going and playing his old team.
Stanford lost. Did they? I didn't hear that. I haven't paid attention at all to those.
Yeah, Stanford got crushed by USC late on. Yeah, it was bad. Yeah, 56-10, and it was 56-0 at half.
Yeah, they got Stanford and Idaho coming up. That's a tough run. Yep. I don't know if I'm sold on Sac State yet, but again, it's like week two. You're still filling things out. They could be good. They could be middle of the road. We'll see what happens.
Yep. All right, should we get into it? We've been putting it off.
Damn. All right. Yeah, let's get into it. All right, so we'll talk about the South Dakota State game. We normally break down the good, the bad, and the okay. Montana State, if you didn't catch it, lost 20-16. And I was getting roasted all week, Zach, because I predicted a loss for Montana State. I was just being honest. You know, I'm a Cap fan, but I didn't think Montana State was going to just waltz into Brookings and with all the pageantry of, what was it? They call this like the beef game?
The beef bowl.
The beef bowl.
South Dakota Ranchers Association or something. Beef bowl. That was fun to learn at kickoff.
And then they had the blackout. And so you have all that voodoo magic going for the Jackrabbits. Before we even get into it, man, I listened to, is their coach named John Rogers? Johnny Rogers? Something like that.
And you texted me earlier in the week about this, and then I went and listened to it, and I think I have the same opinion that you shared with me.
Yeah, just kind of. He just graded me, man. He just came across as just aloof and arrogant. And then when I watched the players, I was texting with some fans, including you. They were chippy and mouthy, and they were just borderline taunting us every tackle, just standing over you, flexing. They were spiking the ball a lot too, and there's no like personal foul calls. And I'm being a little bit nitpicky because if it was the Montana State Bobcats, they'd be like, good on us, right? And flexing a little bit, but I don't know. They just put a bad taste in my mouth. And now, you know, like the Grizzlies, we have another enemy, a common enemy to root against going forward.
Yeah, when we played these guys in the Dakota Pro Cop game, and then I think it was like 2018 timeframe, we played them again. And then we played them in the semifinal. It's kind of like, oh, these guys are kind of the little brother to NDSU, and they're kind of the same as us. I don't like these guys. I'll just say it. Like, I went into that game, and with those announcers too, I was like, I don't like these guys. I genuinely was like, oh man, I hope we beat these guys. Like, I had that disdain, and I think it is becoming a little bit of a rivalry for sure.
This game had shades of the 2017 Gold Rush when they came to Bobcat Stadium. Chris Murray had like 300 yards passing. He had like the best QB game of his life, and which is wild given the fact that his head coach was Jeff Choate. We had Jabari Johnson, who was a stud receiver for like 1 year before he got hurt, and we lost that game 27-31. We had touchdowns called back from Kevin Cassis and all this stuff. It was just like, this just felt very similar. They had the black uniforms on that night as well.
Yes, and they
just
did.
It was just weird. Like, man, this feels a lot like that game. But hey, before we get into any negatives, let's go like we said we would. Let's start off with the good. And I'm going to start us off. And I think the very first thing I'm going to say is we matched their physicality. And that was a 100%. Huge narrative in the offseason. Montana State absolutely matched their physicality. If not, you know, maybe exceeding it.
They punched us. We punched them right back. I was really impressed, honestly. You know, there are some things you can nitpick, but our offensive line showed up. Our D-line, I thought, played really well. Credit to Willie Mack Garza with some of those blitzes, the safety blitzes he had. I was really impressed with some of that stuff. And that was kind of my thought is, boy, we, you know, sometimes you say, oh, we're a year away, or, oh, there's a gap in the talent gap and stuff. We were right there. We were right there. And I think that shows that we're with those Dakota schools and we can face them any day of the week.
Yep. We're in the same level, the same tier, as some people like to call it. That was a big question mark for me going into the game. Were we going to look like we belonged? We certainly did.
Yes. We certainly 100% did. 100% question answered. And, you know, they're the number one team in the nation. And, you know, we are number three. And we should stay number three. I saw that on multiple Twitter accounts and FCS Fan Nation and stuff and some of their stuff. I would be very upset if we fall in the polls, because I think there's only three teams that can win the national title this year. And I think we are at the level of those schools. And it's hard to have that loss, and it's hard the way it ended. But I was very impressed with how we just, you know, looked and showed up, and we're there with them.
100% on that. So that was definitely good. One of the other things I thought was in the good category was our defense. I thought our defense, specifically the first half defense, we only allowed 91 yards to the Jacks in the first half. That was a badass effort on our defense. I want to give props to Willie Mack on that. Like you said, timing up those safety blitzes. Drew Polidor, he's just, man, his move to safety just is confirming everything I thought in the preseason about him just making the right move. Rylan Ort had that amazing sack on their second possession, and we were just taking care of business. Here's a little fun stat for you. Off the 25 plays they had in the first half, they only averaged 3.6 yards. That's pretty good, man, given the fact that they were having their way with us the last time we were in Brookings.
Yep. So my fun fact of the week. So since the COVID season, they have scored 21 or more points every game except three. The three games were at Iowa, against us in the semifinals, and against us on Saturday. Hmm. That's it. So, you know, we can give our defense a lot of, you know, stuff, and we can make fun of them and stuff, and we can, you know, criticize, especially that late touchdown. But of their past, their national championship season, the season before that, and then the COVID year, they have scored 21 or more points every game except three. And two of them are us, and the other one was Big Ten Iowa.
How do you mind that fact? Was that just in your head to think about?
No, I had been thinking about that because I was like, these guys score a lot. And I just went back and looked at that, and I was like, how many games back could I go just to make our defense feel good and make me feel good about our defense and stuff and how they played? But you just look, they went 14-1 last year, and they just had been rolling up, and with the Yonke twins and Isaiah Davis and who was it, Tucker Kraft last year, who was there? So I just was curious who had held them and what did it take? And it turns out it was us and Iowa beforehand. So even NDSU and stuff wasn't able to hold them to that.
It's good effort by our defense. I know people are going to harp on the two-play drive in the fourth quarter. We'll talk about that here in a moment. But overall, Montana State did an amazing job on the defensive effort. Also, flip it to the offensive effort. We had, let me look at my pad. My eyes are failing me. 200 and how many rushing yards did we have, Zach? Can't find it here.
We were, let me pull it up.
I got it. I just need to turn the page. I think it was like 211. Yeah.
Yep.
On 48 carries, we had 211 yards, averaging about 4.5 yards per carry against a really stout defense, the best defense last year in the nation. I think I'm right on that. Don't quote me, but it sounds good if we say it that way. So, yeah, I thought even though the Montana State offense lacked a little bit of creativity, especially when Tommy Mellott went out, we still move people from point A to point B. Like, we were physically moving those jacks around on the defensive line. The thing that was weird, though, was we didn't have, like, a really big run. Sean Chambers had probably, like, a 12 or 13-yard run once or twice. He had one at the very end and kind of, like, that scramble drill on the last drive. But I kept waiting for Julius Davis just to bounce one on the outside because it was like he was like one tackle away, like multiple times.
There were so many tackles where guys had our guys, you know, were sliding off our guys on the tackle or a trip up. And if we just fought through, you know, oh man, we were so close on so many for springing a big play. But they just, credit to them, they got our guys on the ground and they made those tackles that they needed to make.
All right. What else do you got in the good category?
Kicking. We kicked every ball out of the end zone. We looked, we went 4 for 4 field goals. We hit our extra points. Our punting game was great. We pinned them inside the 5 a couple times. Kicking game was fantastic on that side. And then I had the defense just showing up. I mean, 0 points in the first half. I don't think anybody saw that coming. And to be that student shut down. You know, when we played these guys last year and then in the semifinal game 2 years ago, how many times did you hear the name Yonke with a catch? It just haunts me. And my fourth quarter thing was, I haven't heard the Yonke twins name called a lot. And that right? Those guys are explosive and they're fantastic FCS wide receivers. So to see our secondary shut those guys down a little bit. And they dropped some balls, too. Their receivers dropped several balls that they should have had. And, you know, we can play our what-if game. That was definitely one of their what-if games, is their receivers did not help Garnaski out at all, especially late in that game.
No. In fact, I think Jaden Yonke was not in the game for most of the time. I think he had one catch for 1 yard or something. It was a meaningless stat. And then the announcers at one point said, you know, he's been on the sideline with his helmet off, so something happened there. But good point on the Yonke twins. I just got a couple more quick hitters in the good category. We had a naked bootleg at one point when Tommy Mellott, right before he went out, had a naked bootleg, and everybody bid on it, but the secondary covered well. But it was like a good look. I'm like, man, we need to go back to that because that could be a huge play over top if we go back to that. I didn't see us do a lot of play action, and that was one of the few times we actually faked the handoff, rolled out, and he was wide open. Like, and then he just tucked it for 5 yards because everybody was covered, but I liked it. And then I mentioned Drew Polidor. I just think he's met such a good job over at safety. And that's really all I have in the good. Let's move on to the okay. I'll start off. I think passing was okay. Tommy was 6 for 6, and then we really saved it for the last drive where we hit Derek Snell for 19 yards, 13 yards, Pickering for a 21-yard gain, and we just never tried it, especially when we got down into the goal line, and then we got backed up because of a personal foul, or not personal foul, but a false start, and we are 3rd and 6. We're not even trying, and it's just kind of frustrating because that's the narrative we heard. And I think that's
for Montana State to do what we want Montana State to do, we have to have a passing game. We can't just do what we're doing. This offense is not sustainable. It's going to get both of our quarterbacks injured. Already has one of them injured in Tommy Mellott. So I know I'm getting ahead of myself with the bad because we're going to rant a little bit. The passing game was okay.
Well, and the frustrating thing is, you know, the passing game was good and we have good receivers. We have great tight ends and we have good receivers and we have more good receivers on the way in the next couple weeks, hopefully coming off injury and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, it's not like, oh, our receivers were dropping balls left and right or we can't trust them. They looked good. They're good receivers. They're good tight ends and they can get yards after catch. And, third and six, third and eight. I just don't understand why you run that up the middle against the best defensive line in the country. I could not get over that fact of why are we calling, you know, up the gut on third and six. there was one early in the game where Tommy had to throw a third and eight or something like that, and he hit somebody over the middle.
CT.
And it moved the chains. Yep. Yeah. And he can do that almost automatically. He's proven it. He can do it. And we just do it so little. So I don't understand. I just don't understand the play calling on the passing game. And then, you know, at the end of the game, we have to get desperate. So we have to throw. And
that's the only thing I have in the okay category. It was either hot or cold for me.
Yep. Do you want to get into it now? Cause I have one rant for sure.
Okay. Did you have any like middle road okays?
I just thought the offensive line held up for protections for the most part. I was really impressed with kind of our middle of the field stuff. Just moving the ball on those guys and stuff. I thought we could have done a better job on the later downs, but I was really impressed with some of that stuff and just getting out of our own end zones and stuff. There was no real, besides the first drive, there was no real three and outs. So I thought we were moving the ball on them, which was nice to see because in the playoff game, we didn't really do that.
Yeah. All right, Zach, I'm going to serve it to you, buddy. Start us off. Let's dip our toes into the bad. Let's just jump into it and wallow in it for a while.
So the thing that I know that's going to drive the coaching staff absolutely bonkers is the penalties and the false starts. And I did go back and look. I think Connor Moore had four or five of the penalties.
He had a rough night.
So, yeah. So we were 12 penalties for 80 yards. So not the most yards, but we were 12 penalties for 80 yards. They were seven penalties for 75 yards. So similar in yardage. We just had a couple more. But it felt like the ones that we had were killers.
Oh, and, absolutely.
You know, just those 5 yarders, especially with what we try to do. And, you know, we play that short yardage game moving down the field, a 5 yarder. How many third and ones did we have that it was a false start? Oh, my goodness. Especially on that. I was in the go for it camp at the end of the game because I didn't want to kick a field goal because my thought was this is the game anyway. They're going to go down and score. You got to keep it to a touchdown. I think I kind of saw that coming a little bit at the end of the game. So yeah. I was like, you have to score. I didn't want to go to, we're not built to go to overtime. We're not built for college overtime. We're not built for that 25 yard offense. We're built to be methodical and move the ball down the field and slow. And if everybody knows what you're doing in that offense at the end of the game, oh, that was just brutal, especially, oh, and the punt block, how great was that? And they fell on it at the one. They fell on it. Like there was nobody around. It was one of my things. I know the coaches tell them just fall on the ball, get on the ball and stuff. But I was thinking, I was like, okay, even if they fall on the ball, we still get the ball at the one. Just grab it. Just somebody grab it. That was my thought there. And getting 3 points on that, brutal. Absolutely brutal.
So I'm going to talk to Tom Stuber tomorrow night, and he's a stats kind of buff. Yeah. I'm going to save it for him. I wonder if he's going to break down the penalties before and after Tommy went out from quarterback. Because the cadence with Sean messed a lot of people up. Apparently, Connor Moore couldn't figure it out. And Derek Snell was just like, I don't know what Derek Snell was doing there for a while. I love Derek Snell, so it's hard for me to say anything disparaging about him. But yeah, I mean, when it's fourth and inches from the 2 yard line,
the 2 yard line,
down, and then Trayton Pickering and Derek Snell make it fourth and six. And you just, you're like, oh my gosh. I mean, these are moments in Bobcat history where we won't forget that soon. This is the number one team in their house. And this is a defining moment for Bobcat football. And you let that one slip away. So that's just maddening. Absolutely maddening. Because to be honest with you, this is the first time I really thought about this. The way Montana State played, it feels like we could have had a 10 to 14 point win. And
with that effort. Yep, absolutely.
But like you said, those 12 penalties just took it out of the cards for us. All right, another bad for me. Let's see. All right, let me pick from my long list. Man, the Jacks had 153 yards in the third quarter alone. That's not good.
They woke up and they came out right out and punched us in the face and went out and scored. And I think they got a stop on us. And they came right out and they were ready to go. And they fixed what we had been doing on defense right away. And it was pretty noticeable.
Ort almost had an interception and went right through his hands. That would have stemmed the tide. But there was a defensive holding on that play as well that I didn't see. So that would have been negated. But that would have been like turned the momentum right away. And yeah, Isaiah Davis got his act going in that third quarter. And it must have been something new they were doing with the offensive line, the way they were pulling or assignment blocking. They did a good job at grinding out some long yards in the third quarter. And they gained the momentum back. We know the games are always a momentum thing. There's going to be swings and swings. And I thought Montana State came back and did actually a good job of capturing the momentum there with the punt block. But they could just, you know, those penalties, as you talked about, just really killed us.
Yeah. Six plays from within the 1 yard line, and we ended up with two field goals. And we called the same play six times, Sean Chambers up the middle.
Secret play. Montana secret play.
Well, and, you know, we talked about it last weekend on here with the Utah Tech game about it was a little concerning that we didn't punch it in and Utah Tech held us at the goal line. And it was like, oh, there's not a lot of bad talk about in this game, but that was a little weird. That was a little concerning, and it was a concern, and it's going to be a concern. And I know on Bobcat Nation, people were not happy about that. And it's just frustrating. It's just so frustrating to see such a good run attack get stuff like that.
I'm glad you mentioned this because I'm going to talk with Tom about this too. But to me, this feels like a pride thing for Montana State. This is us just saying, hey, watch us. We can still do it. And it feels like we're working harder, not smarter. Any of one of those faked fly sweeps that Chambers could have just passed off to Cleveland Thomas, Marquis Johnson, they would have scored. Like, easily.
Option play. Anything to the outside, please.
A Tebow pass would have worked. A leak, Snell out in the flat. Anything would have worked.
These guys knew what was happening. It was given. Everybody in that stadium knew Sean Chambers is running right up the middle. So,
yeah,
the announcers knew it, and they were like, they're running it again, and we ran it again.
So, to prove what?
Yes, that's going to work against Portland State. That's going to work against Northern Colorado. It's not going to work at South Dakota State late in the game. With that, against the defending national champions.
Yeah.
Again, what if? That's kind of the theme of it. And I hate playing that game. That's my like least favorite thing in sports is to play the what if, because they could have had that too. They had a couple balls slip out of their hands. They could have been right in that game earlier on or better and stuff. They could have had some bigger plays. So they could have played. You know, what if their guy doesn't throw one of our guys' shoes and give up a 15-yard penalty? What if their guy doesn't get kicked out for doing something stupid or a late hit? What if Garnaski doesn't fumble on the second, you know, snap they have? So I hate playing that because there's so many that we can play, and you know, the what if for us, unfortunately, is at the end of that thing, if you know his foot is 2 inches in bounds, we're sitting here celebrating, cracking beers that we beat the number one team in the country. It's hard to bring up, and it's going to be tough. But hey, if you're gonna, as the adage goes, if you're gonna lose in a season, lose early.
Yeah,
because you know, at the resume and stuff, at the end of the year, if we do, and I'm not saying we will, because we got a heck of a road schedule and some great teams ahead of us. But if we do end up running the tables and stuff like that, you're gonna look back and be like, Week two, we're better. We're better. We're good. We're a better team. So we'll see. A lot of football is still to be played.
All right. I got another thing in the bad category. I thought the touchdown, Sean Chambers, that got negated by another false start by Connor Moore. Or excuse me, not Connor Moore, Marcus Ware. Yep. I didn't think Marcus was early on that. I thought that was a legit touchdown.
Yeah, man, I don't want to criticize the officiating too much because I thought it was pretty non-biased. I thought they called a pretty decent game, actually.
Yeah,
right. But, you know, normally coaching staffs get, you know, after two or three of the same penalties, you get an explanation from the officials or something, and it just seemed like they saw something and they were going to call it all night, and we made no adjustments on fixing that, which unfortunate. And then you got to think of the vice of the two quarterback system and stuff. How many reps were those guys getting with Sean? With noise and stuff like that in practice.
Yeah, I don't know what was the difference. Yeah.
So
tough saying.
Yeah, hard to say for sure. But
I guess the only other thing I'll put in the bad category for me, and we can harp on this, but I don't want to be too long-winded, is we were in man coverage on that second, that two-play drive. There's 2 minutes left. We're up three. We need to be in quarters or some sort of prevent defense right there. Make them drive down the field, get the field goal. We were in press man. And I don't know if we were expecting just a run on first down. And then the guy got behind Caden Dowler, and Caden Dowler saved it. Well, I don't know. Maybe that guy was just going to dive for that ball anyway. So Gronowski hit a fantastic pass. And then the second play, I think there was a block in the back. I know your dad might be a little bit in disagreement with that.
I haven't seen it. I haven't watched it in slow-mo or up to that point yet. I'd be curious to see it and stuff. But again, it goes, unfortunately, to the what-if category. What if they call a flag on that? And now it's, you know, first and 25 with a minute to go. And our defense holds. So,
yeah. Or they score, and then we don't have any time to try to come back. So it's like, that? So you go down all these little holes of what ifs. But, you know, Montana State, in summation, Montana State lost that game. We didn't lose to the Jacks. We beat ourselves because we could have took that game probably four, five, six different ways.
Yep. And I mean, we were texting in the first half that, hey, we want to get one more score here, make it 17-0.
Mm-hmm.
And we weren't greedy because we thought we could do it. And I thought we could do it and stuff. And I would have liked to be a little more aggressive there before the end of the half, just kind of go for the throat a little bit and go into halftime, be like, hey, we, you know, we had a fourth and one, I think, at our own 46 with a couple minutes to go. And our offense was humming a little bit. And it was like, I would have liked to seen us, you know, be a little more aggressive going into that game. I mean, you're on the road against big time opponent. I would like to see a little more aggressiveness out of that.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Zach?
We got a long season ahead of us. We got a long season. We got Stetson this week. We're back at home. Ty Gregorek, I miss you. I can't wait to listen to you on the road games. I need our announcers back. That was brutal listening to their announcers and stuff the entire game, but a cool environment. Cool that we, you know, we showed up proud of what our program is. I'd say that at the end, just proud that we are at that level. We are at that expectation. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that it was like, oh man, you know, I hope we make the playoffs, or I hope we, you know, we're there for the playoffs. No, we want to go back to Frisco. And my expectation before the season was, I think this is a team that can get to Frisco. And my expectation has not changed after this weekend. If not, I'm more confident that we can get back to Frisco.
I think that's a good way to put it and wrap it up there. I'm glad you said that you're proud of the Bobcats, because that's not something I had thought about, but instantly when you said it, I was like, yes, that resonated true with me. I'm always proud to be a Bobcat. I'm always proud to be a Bobcat. That's why I do this podcast. That's why I have 2 degrees from Montana State University. I just loved being a Bobcat. It was a huge part of my life, and the guys showed out well, and it was a tough one. It was really tough. It was tough to watch Coach Vegan, Sean, and Danny Yu at the end give their pressers afterwards. It's tough to see Tommy limping out there. We'll see what happens with that. So we hope, you know, that's not a long-term thing.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll learn more tomorrow.
This game also showed me, Zach, that our offense needs to change a little bit. We need to be less reliant on the QB run in order to keep our quarterback safe. And we have such good receivers and running backs. We need to put those guys in better positions.
Yep. We need to diversify the playbook a little more. And again, I said it earlier, I think we have fantastic wide receivers and fantastic tight ends. I think we are capable of having this, and it's not a massive fix, honestly. It's a glaring issue right now, but it's not a massive fix. It's something that can be fixed, honestly, I think, within weeks. I don't know if we will, but it's something that I think we could fix within weeks, honestly.
Yeah. And we tend to play better later in this season. I have full faith and confidence in Coach Vegan.
Yep. And all right, you ready to wrap this thing up?
Hey, man, this has been a lot of fun. I'm going to kick Thorny out for a couple more episodes, and then we'll get you back on before the season's over. Maybe we can get you to be, you know, kind of a regular guy on this thing. That'd be kind of fun.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And I'm running the Instagram a little bit. So for the fans that have interacted with that, I've really appreciated it. And it's fun to do. It's a fun little thing to connect with the fan base. So thank you for letting me run that. And all right.
All right, man. Give me a go, Cats.
Go, Cats, baby. Let's go. Nope. Let's get back to Frisco.
Go, Cats.